Let's go.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Benchdown TV. I am Paul, and with me are Luke and Jimmy. And today we are here to talk about episode 6 of WandaVision, titled All New Halloween Spooktacular. And this show has been all rise from the get. I mean, it was a great episode yet again to narrow down some of our old theories and create some new theories. And the way the story is being told is like just giving information bit by bit in each episode. It's so frustrating because you just want to know, but it's so well done. And each episode, I feel like, is now ending with like a huge cliffhanger.
There was a lot that happened in this episode, specifically with Tommy and Billy. They progressed a lot. We obviously see that they both get their powers and they're having a lot more dialogue speaking parts that actually matter to the story. So it was cool to see them being a lot more incorporated. And of course, in my opinion, I thought Vision was an MVP in this episode. He was just great every time he was on screen. But I think it's hard to defend the fact that Agnes is going to be evil. Like, I'm starting to think that we went overboard in theorizing about her a little bit, because she looks like she's just part of the town. Like, she's just like everybody else, being controlled and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot to unpack in this one.
Yeah, I thought that Billy and Tommy were a big highlight. I thought that Evan Peters was great. I thought he was hilarious. Billy and Tommy, it's going to be a shame. I said it last podcast episode. I would like to have them be Billy and Tommy from now on, but I do think they're going to grow older. But I think those two with their powers and being like younger kids would be interesting to see for a longer time than maybe the next couple episodes. But yeah, we'll talk about it. But a lot of our theories are starting to
chop down.
Here's
a good question to just open up some dialogue about the episode as a whole is, so now we got our answer about what's going to happen to Vision if he leaves the Westview Hex. He's going to die. And I think it's the same thing with Pietro. Is that what we got from the quick flash of him being dead for a second? I'm assuming he's under the same, like, brought back from the dead.
Yeah, so I think that this episode kind of sandbags our theory about that actually being the Fox version of Quicksilver, which kind of is a bummer. But at the same time, we've talked about other possibilities that we're fine with. Mm-hmm. So I honestly think that if they could have cast Aaron Taylor Johnson, they would have just did it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he would have been better, but it just would have made more sense.
Luke, you talked about the fact that Evan Peters, if they did it in this way, you're pretty pissed off. And I kind of agree. Like, I'm not really a huge fan of throwing Evan Peters in just to troll us, kind of. But you have to have a Quicksilver in there, and that's the only way you can have Quicksilver if Aaron Taylor Johnson said no. But I honestly think that if Aaron Taylor Johnson would have been available, they would have used him and not Evan Peters.
Yeah, that's sad to think. Might be true. I just think because of the way that they portrayed him this episode, he's so capped, meaning like he's not making it out of this series, in my opinion. Something I always hoped for.
I mean, he's Mephisto, so he will be.
I just said honestly like four times in the last minute of the podcast. But if
I'm glad you're being honest with us, Jimmy. Thank you.
Honestly, guys, if he's not going to be Fox Quicksilver, it's still open for him to be Mephisto. I still think he could be Mephisto.
Mm-hmm. We got some
sketchy dialogue.
Yeah, yeah. There's clues here and there. It's either red herrings or he's confirmed. It's either or at this point, though.
I mean, we're getting to the point, though, Luke. You said it yourself. If they don't reveal him soon, it's going to be
I'm already
tough.
Past that point. I think it's just going to be her. Like, she is the big bad guy, unless they blow my mind and make Mephisto come out of this in some way. But I'm starting to full think it's just going to be Wanda versus the world.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's going to leave this series being a villain. Like, the conclusion of the series could be them taming her and the Hex going off of Westview and her saying bye to Vision officially and moving on. But that leads me to another question. What do we think? Are Tommy and Billy outside? They're going to live past this Hex? Like, they're different than being brought to life?
Yeah, I'm under the impression, like I've been saying, that it's just going to be a plot device to just say, hey, Billy and Tommy are going to make it somehow. Yeah. It's easy enough to just say you can't explain her powers, that they're just going to somehow make it. So technically, I guess besides Vision and Pietro, they're the only two that she can't control. But they are really not being able to be controlled. Like, Vision is under her control sometimes, still. Peter, I don't freaking know his deal. And then the kids are never under her control. It's straight mom-kid relationship, doing whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, Pietro seems the most where she can't control him. But I mean, he's also only been in it for an episode, so who knows? But all right, you guys ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right. So this starts out, it's like full on Malcolm in the Middle. It's just from that era. And it's just showing the twins and they're talking right to the camera and they're just kind of giving a lowdown of what they're thinking. They're saying like, oh, it's Halloween time. We see Tommy comes in talking first and then Billy is there and he's like, hey, why aren't you dressed up? And Tommy's like, oh, because I'm the cool twin and all this stuff. So basically it was just like sibling rivalry in the beginning here. And then we see Pietro sleeping on the couch and Billy doesn't want to wake him up and Tommy does. And they get into this whole, it's because you think he's a vampire and shit. And he hears this, wakes up and scares him. And he plays a really good man child, I will say.
Yeah. And I guess the first thing we can bring up right away is that his powers are Aaron Taylor Johnson Quicksilver, not Evan Peters Quicksilver. Because in the movies, the only time Quicksilver really uses powers is when they're doing the slow motion, crazy theatrical scenes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So Pietro is just very liberal with his powers too. Like he's never afraid to just use it when at in any situation, which is cool to see. It seems like as a whole, they're all starting to get more comfortable just using it, even Wanda herself. And then as obviously the kids are going to get their powers, they just use the shit out of them too. But yeah, so, you know, it's like the classic sitcom opening that we've been seeing every single episode, blah, blah, blah. We see it's a Halloween episode. So Elizabeth Olsen's rocking the classic Scarlet Witch uniform. And I love that she describes it. She says it's a Sokovian fortune teller costume, which is that a thing? I don't know. They just why that's.
That's just some way to explain it.
Yeah.
Also, did you guys know? I just learned this. Sokovia isn't real. Sokovia is a made up place. So she.
So dumb, Paul.
And while we're talking about this, we'll just go ahead and get this over with. This is Paul's sexiest scene of the ep. I mean, she just looks so good walking down those steps in that outfit. I was just glued to the TV.
Yeah, Elizabeth Olsen's doing it for me in this episode.
And Pietro and Tommy kind of have this back and forth. Tommy's like, oh, like that outfit is so cool. And then Pietro says, lame. And Tommy's like, oh, it's lame. Basically, they just look up, or Tommy specifically kind of looks up to his uncle and like wants to be him.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And it shows. Later in the scene, they're kind of just playing video games and Pietro's teaching them how to shotgun like soda cans and stuff like that. So they're just living up to and they just want to be like their with their cool uncle.
There's a great bit of dialogue right away between Pietro and Wanda. And there it's when they're just I forget who brings it up, but they end up talking about their childhood, their shared childhood, of course. But Wanda, I think, is the one that says that's not how I remember what happened. So their origins are slightly different. And then is this because, you know, like obviously he's not the original Marvel Pietro. So is he from a different universe or is he an infiltrator, AKA Mephisto or someone, something similar? It's just, there's a lot going on here because they're clearly have different, there's some discrepancies with their history.
What they said was Pietro said, this is worse than the year we got typhus. And then they cut back to, it looks like they're in Sokovia and some old ladies giving them a fish on Halloween. And then it cuts back and Wanda, exactly what Luke said, that's not exactly how I remembered it. And Pietro says, you probably suppressed a lot of the trauma.
Yeah. Now, who were they dressed as for Halloween?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Was it Paul? Like Black Widow and Hawkeye or something?
It was Black Widow and Nick Fury.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... she added the braid. She was full Natasha, and he had the eye patch as Nick Fury.
Oh my God, that's so cool. But yeah, I mean, this is like the first instance of this Quicksilver isn't clicking with Wanda. It's almost like he's acting, and they go on to talk about it later, so we'll get into it. But right off the bat, you know that something's weird. And honestly, Billy brings it up. After this conversation, he like looks at the camera and says like, oh, like mom hasn't been the same since Uncle Pietro got here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's just tension. Right. And then this is when Vision comes down the steps. And this is Paul's sexiest scene of the episode.
Now, <Sexiest.
laughs> yeah, dude. Vision looking tight. No, but he honestly looks horrible. Like this, I can't believe this was like his OG uniform.
Mm-hmm. I love how they explain it as Mexican wrestler.
Yeah. Like Wanda was saying, thanks for putting up with this ridiculous outfit. And Viz claps back at first. He's like, well, there was no other clothes in my closet. And he gives her a look like, yeah, well, I didn't have a choice. But then he kind of snaps back into character. He's like, oh, like you're incorrigible. And I kind of think after watching it the first time, it seems like he did say that first part about not having any other clothes sincerely. And then he realized, okay, if I'm going to follow through with this plan of like getting out of here, I like just need to act normal and I can't like give Wanda any suspicions. So that's kind of why he snaps back into like, oh, I had no idea you had a thing for Mexican wrestlers. And she yeah. says, me gusta mucho. And all he can think of is chili con carne.
Yeah. I mean, he's a freaking AI. I think he should be able to speak any language he wants. But yeah, I mean, as soon as he said that to her, you could see her face changes. Like, oh my God, he's going off
the rails.
Yeah, yeah. Like he's starting to be self-aware.
All script.
Again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's the end of that, right? We have a couple of funny Evan Peters parts, but nothing.
Yeah. This is important. Yeah. He's just kind of Vision looks back at Peter and he says, I had no idea that your brother would be so. And then it shows them shotgunning the beers, like 1, 2, 3, go. And Vision's face here was so funny. He just gives a thumbs up and it was like, didn't know he'd be so good with kids.
Yeah.
And then this is where he says, all right, have fun tonight. I'm off. And Wanda right away is like, what? She said, and Viz is still in character. He's like, Wanda, the only thing that stands between the toilet paper and the trees is the neighborhood watch. Like, they need me. And I love how they made him join the neighborhood watch seemingly for no reason in episode 2 when it was still old school. But now they're like bringing it back to a main integral point about why he's actually able to like escape from Wanda. And Wanda even says right here, like, no, like that's not what you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then Viz kind of gives her a look like, oh, like, so you are controlling everything.
Yep.
Yeah. And then so we step away from Westview for a little bit. Now we're in the SWORD facility for the first time this episode. And I do want to make a note that the force field is visibly red still. So yep. I think that was, there was an actual change
compared to
what we thought before.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we're inside the SWORD facility and Tyler, what's his last name again? Tyler
Hayward
is just preparing to go to war with Wanda essentially. And they're just going to go all out and start attacking her because they don't know. They saw her aggressive personality and she's holding the town hostage. So they're on the aggro right now. And at the same time, we have Darcy, Jimmy Woo, Monica are telling him to stop, like relax. Like you're causing her to fight back. You're pushing her into a corner. And then, you know, the whole conversation escalates to Tyler eventually saying, get these guys like out of here, arrest them. You know, they're being a nuisance now.
He really is a dick. It's crazy. Like the first episode you meet him, you think he's actually fine. And we talked about this in one of the other episodes. He seems fine to start and he's just getting dickier and dickier.
Completely agree. But he does bring up the blip years again, saying you guys have no idea like what we went through when you weren't here for those 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are kind of the points where you say, well, he's got a little bit of a point, but he still is just not listening to the experts who are actually making progress. So he should just be working with these three because they are the ones who are making shit happen.
I did love that line. All you people who left still have the luxury of optimism because like you were saying, it's like, oh, shit, like they did have to deal with the immediate repercussions and the people that left have no idea what happened. He like even says, like, you had no idea what it was like and what we had to do to keep the lights on. And yeah, basically like this whole fight between Rambo and Hayward, they're just butting heads from the get. And Darcy had a nice clap back in there too. Rambo, like the first scene she says is like, you cut us off at the knees by sending in that missile. And Hayward was like, well, now we know what we're dealing with. Like, what? That doesn't really justify the missile. And then Darcy's like, hey, look, it's the guy that almost got murdered by his own murder squad.
Yeah.
Do you work for me? I actually don't know. Darcy's the best.
Awesome. Yeah, she's awesome.
So then they get arrested, right? And then we have the cool escape with Jimmy and Monica kicking some ass and Darcy freaking out. Why didn't you tell me the plan?
How so, about,
you know, that kind of happens real quick. And we knew it was going that way where they're free and they're.
How about Woo, man? Woo with the first punch. And I didn't know he could throw down.
Agreed. I did not know he was a fighter, but.
They had a cool line as they were kind of getting escorted away. Woo was saying that Hayward is completely overstepping his authority. And Rambo is saying he was already looking for an excuse to sideline us. He's up to something. And he just took this chance. So, I mean, they obviously have a really bad feeling towards Hayward as well. Just hit the bodies and took their gear and they're incognito. But yeah, then it jumps back into the anomaly. And it's Pietro who took Vision's spot to help them go trick-or-treat, and Wanda and Tommy and Billy are just ready to like go unleash hell. And that's what he yells. He says, "Unleash hell, demon spawn." And is that just the Uncle Pete like being funny, or is that Uncle Mephisto, aka Daddy Mephisto?
He's training him with those action words.
In the comics, they are demon spawn. So, do we bring up when Peter says that he'll take over for Vision, and then he goes and gets the costume with?
Oh no, that was
no.
The last part of the first scene. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, how awesome are those costumes?
Yeah.
When he just flashes away, comes back, he's got the costumes ready and they're just both Quicksilver.
I love it. I love Pietro's classic look.
It works so well, honestly.
So we get a really good conversation here once the kids walk away from Pietro and Wanda and they start having legit conversations talking about why he looks different. And you don't get a direct answer here, but, you know, questions are being asked and she's realizing that this isn't really her Pietro.
She's testing him right off the bat saying, "Hey, do you remember back in the orphanage after mom and dad died? What was the name of the kid that kept trying to steal your boots?" And he doesn't answer. He says, "You're testing me. Like, I know you're trying to test me."
I love that line. Yeah.
Yeah. And he says like, "Hey, it's cool. I know I look different." And Wanda's like, "Why do you look different?"
And it's funny because the way he's saying it, he's obviously like pointing to like his costume and his hair being different and shit. But he knows that we're saying he actually looks different.
Mm-hmm. And he answers all of Wanda's questions with like jokes. And he was like, "You tell me, like, if I found Shangri-La, I wouldn't want to go back to the normal either." Meaning like this new actor is way more handsome than the other Pietro.
Yeah.
And then right after this, I guess to get out of the conversation, he says, "Let me like help the kids go get some candy." And when they speed off, Wanda says, "Kick ass."
Yep.
Which I thought was like, you would never say kick ass there, but both Pietros were in Kick Ass, which is the funny part.
Aaron Taylor Johnson and Evan Peters starred in the movie Kick Ass together. Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's amazing. Yeah. I didn't realize that. That's
there was a meme going around, and it was a screenshot of them two standing next to each other in that movie. And it was like the Pietro we wanted and the Pietro they got. It's like they accidentally grabbed the wrong one. So right when they do this, Wanda sees Herb, and he's dressed as Frankenstein. Looks dope as hell, by the way.
He does.
And she's just asking, you know, "How's patrol going?" "Oh, it's quiet so far." And then he gets a call. Somebody's stealing all the candy. The pumpkins are being smashed. Everyone's covered in silly string. And that's when we see Pietro just taking the Speed and Wiccan. I'm just going to call him that. Billy and Tommy Speed and Wiccan interchangeable at this point. But he grabs the kids and he's just doing all this mayhem. And right here, Herb saying like, "Oh, I got to go." And Wanda saying, "Hey, maybe Viz can help. Like, Vision's not on duty today." And immediately she looks concerned. Herb hits her with the, "Is there anything I can do for you? Do you want something changed?"
Yeah.
So
let's pause right here because we were taking Agnes doing that as a big deal last episode. And we were like, she has to be different. But now we know Herb, who we thought was just a town member, which I guess is confirmed too, that he's just a town member who's under her spell, is doing the same thing. So I guess the weight that we put on that isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, I'm so confused at what that conversation was between the two, because they were NPCs at that point, right? Agnes and Herb, when he starts cutting through the metal or the brick wall, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like, are they kind of aware sometimes? I don't understand that. How they were having a conversation about Wanda controlling things, actually.
Yeah, my explanation was that it was Agnes being aware and her being able to make Herb aware at times. But now it just seems like people that, I don't know, because Norm is never able to break character unless Viz helps him. Mm-hmm. And we know that Agnes has done it multiple times. We now Herb's done it. Like, that actually was I had to make a big note of that because it really just takes away everything we said about Agnes last episode.
Mm-hmm. That's the sad thing. We could have been overanalyzing her and she might just be an Easter egg compared to her being an actual plot point of something bigger than a townsperson.
Because Herb got identified. I mean, he got identified as one of the townspeople. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there's no way he's a plant, right?
Yeah.
So who knows? And I really hope
no plants. We already know that. So,
but anyway, so after the conversation with Herb, we do flash directly to Vision to see what he's up to. And he is walking on the edge of town. He's getting closer and closer to the force field. And he's just seeing all of these breaks in the characters under Wanda's spells. There are some people who are barely moving or they're caught in loops. And the camera zooms in on one of the girls that are caught in one of these loops who isn't really doing it. And you see a tear drop down. So, you know, subconsciously, she's like Norm and Agnes, like freaking out. She knows she's being controlled and wants help.
That was a crazy thing to see.
Yeah. It's like West. I always I'm linking it closer and closer to Westworld now, right? Just them trying to break their loops and starting to become self-aware and stuff.
And like just completely glitched, just doing the same 3-second loop.
Yep.
Yeah. So pretty much we figure out that the closer you are to Town Square and to Wanda, the more you act quote unquote normal under her spell. And then the further you get, or closer you get to Ellis, the further you get away from her. You're kind of just,
it's exactly like virtual reality or something like that, where the world is rendered, but it only matters what's close to the main character. Right. Really. Everything else is kind of just there in the background. Right. So as you know, that's pretty much how I'm thinking about it.
And from this, we cut right into the commercial.
Trip some shrooms and watch this commercial.
Yeah,
my
right.
God, this was crazy.
This is so weird, but it totally did feel like 2000s, 90s, like this weird animation and the shark just yelling right at you through the screen. So the first time I watched it, I had no idea what the hell was going on. It was a kid on an island going, I'm so hungry, I'd eat anything. And then this shark comes out. It's like, yo, like grab this Yo Magic yogurt. Or whatever the hell it was.
Yo, dude.
Yeah. And the kid gets it, and then he can't open it and dies and turns into a skeleton. Mm-hmm. And then it's like the catchphrase, Yo Magic, the snack for survivors, strawberry flavored.
Is there something there?
So there's like a couple of ways you can look at this. The line snack on Yo Magic is pretty like open to the fact that it could be an antagonist literally feeding off of Wanda using her powers.
Mephisto, baby. You know, so
again, we've already brought up, I didn't even want to bring these up in other episodes because Nightmare is someone that's been brought up as a bad guy. He's a Doctor Strange villain and he's kind of like Freddy Krueger. Again, I don't know him very well from the comics, but he's pretty much like he feeds off you in your dreams. And we're not going to say she's sleeping. The other one is the villain that was in Doctor Strange 1. You remember, what was his name? Dormammu?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was another way to tie in Doctor Strange. You know, so Dormammu, he's another one who could be feeding off her. Then there's a thing about you have the shark come in, he gives you what you need, but you can't open it. So it's like how Mephisto works with his deals. He always tricks you into, like, here's the deal. You think you want this deal, but it's going to screw you up somehow. There's a million ways you could take it.
Dormammu, I'm out on. I hated the Marvel take on Dormammu, especially because if you play any of the video games that dude's in, he is so much cooler than what the movie made him be, which was like that planet entity thing. I don't know. He was weird in the movies. But I hope it's not that.
So the way I was taking it was just going off the theme of these commercials being based off her life. Basically, after she joined Hydra, she just got tested on, and that's what gave her magic. So basically, they were starving orphans, and the only way they could survive was surviving these tests that Strucker was putting on them in Hydra. And once they did, they got magic.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And some people couldn't open it because they weren't able to survive the testing and get the powers and they died. But I had no confidence in saying that. This commercial was so weird.
Yeah. This is the first one that it's not as obvious as the other ones.
But yeah, and it's weird because if we're going chronologically through their lives, Lagos happened way after they got tested on.
Yeah.
Like for magic, so.
Which would make you further believe if it's timeline oriented that it's more likely that it's Mephisto deal thing going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I feel like we analyzed the shit out of that minute and a half commercial, so we can just go back to the real dialogue. And this conversation's dope because we're back with in square with Wanda and Pietro, and now they're going to start talking about the details.
Yep.
And when Pietro starts remembering, and Pietro ends up saying that he remembers being shot, and next thing he knew, he heard Wanda calling and he just showed up. So that's his recollection of it. And mm-hmm. It's either, you know, he could be bullshitting her and he could be someone like Mephisto, or she brought him back to life in a weird way and they just couldn't get the OG actor. And that's
exactly
kinda, it could really be that simple. But yeah, he says that he thinks it's weird that he's alive too. He says the details are fuzzy, and that whole conversation makes you think that maybe he really is just in the dark and he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
When they cut to this scene, they're walking away from the movie theater and the headliners are The Incredibles and The Parent Trap.
Yeah.
And is that like just a call to that time period, or, you know, The Incredibles, it's about a family that has superpowers, and The Parent Trap is, I don't know, twins and
two twins that reconnect.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's gotta be what it, I don't think The Incredibles wasn't 90s. Was it?
Nah, it was early 2000s.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's, you know,
no, the symbolism is totally what they were going for there. That's amazing. Mm.
And Wanda is making them return all the candy, and Pietro's saying that that's so lame. I can't believe you're doing that. She says, I can't believe what a bad influence you are. And then this is where Pietro got into what you were saying, Luke. He says, look, I'm just trying to do my part, cause tension with the brother-in-law, stir up trouble with the little ones, and ultimately give you grief. I mean, that's what you wanted, isn't it? And
exactly.
It's like, what? She says, what happened to your accent? What happened to yours? You know, details are fuzzy. I got shot like a chump in the street. And the next thing I know, I heard you calling me. And that kind of links up with what Rambo said. When we learn, you know, she's getting the x-rays done. She wakes up. She's given that little inner monologue. She's saying, you know, all I heard was Wanda's voice. That's like the first thing. And pain and lonely and emptiness. But Pietro says, I knew you needed me right at the end.
I just love Evan Peters as Pietro. He's just so good.
He is. He's so quick and like snappy.
He's so quick. And like quick.
Literally this morning, I was watching, like on my Twitter feed popped up that scene. Evan Peters is Quicksilver in the Fox universe.
Yeah.
And it's the scene where the X-Mansion blows up and he is 2 minutes of him just saving people. He is just so good at being Quicksilver. I don't care what form he's in. He's just great.
And this is where we see Speed, Tommy get his powers. So the kids come running up. They say they have full size candy bars a few blocks up the street. Like, can we go? Tommy takes off, speeds off, comes back and says, like, next stop, Cavity Town, which I thought was hysterical.
To me that they didn't react more crazily to him getting just super speed powers right on the spot.
Pietro was the most hype.
Yeah, he absolutely was. Wanda just did not even care at
his,
all.
His reaction was so good.
Right on, little dude. Chip off the old Maximoff block. You got super speed.
Yeah, so good.
And then Wanda, she's just like, if you're going to break the sound barrier, take your brother with you. It's like, okay, that's cool, Wanda. It's like,
Right there, too, before they run off, before Speed runs off, she gives the warning, don't go past Ellis Avenue.
Yep.
That's the edge of Westview.
Yep.
Yeah, and then it jumps us back outside of the anomaly, and we got the three amigos sneaking around, and they kind of break into the sword base. They see a broadcast with the new Pietro on the TV in the background. I think Rambo has a comment, like, who's this? Wu's like, oh, like, she brought her brother back, but he brought the wrong face.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where Darcy just takes off. So Darcy's hacking into the secure network on the base, and then she's accessing the data in Hayward's devices, all in like 35 seconds. She's a beast. And she finds out that Hayward found a way to look through the anomaly and was actually tracking people. They marked people in Westview, specifically one person, and they said, hey, is this Dot Wanda? Darcy says, no, that's the vibranium decay is what it's tracking. So it looks like Vision is their top priority, honestly.
And I brought that up in the first podcast episode when Monica in this series meets with Tyler after the blip happens. And he says that there's a missing persons case. I think it's hinted at. I thought that that possibly could have been Vision and not Wanda. And that's what it's looking like it's going to be, because they care more about the vibranium and the AI shit that's going on with him. I think that's the priority. And that's why Tyler is so willing to just go to war with Wanda, because she's not the priority at all.
Yeah. And again, this is more confirmation that she's not bringing Vision back to life. He's just the decaying vibranium, exactly like he was as a dead body, just reanimated, walking around.
Yep.
Yeah, the fact that it's decaying vibranium, it's not just like vibranium waves. It's he's straight up dead.
Yeah, well, let's hope it's not a decaying human body of Quicksilver walking around.
That would be ridiculous.
Probably what it is, to be honest, but...
Yeah. So, they say that, you know, Hayward must have an accurate head count by now. And Wu's looking at the screen, and then he realizes, like, hey, these people on the edge are barely moving. Like, are they dead? Like, they have no idea.
This is basically the explicit reveal of what I was saying earlier with the VR only loading around the main character being Wanda. So that's
and
that hint.
To go off what you guys were saying about Vision being the top priority, I think we talked about it a little bit. Rambo, when she first got in and Hayward was explaining what happened the past 5 years, she made the comment, like, it looks like you guys are building weapons, like, let alone this isn't research and like reconnaissance. And they had Vision out completely on the table in all separate pieces. Maybe they were using him to create some huge weapon. And now that they stole him, Hayward's going to do everything he can to get him back. Or maybe Hayward's Mephisto. I don't know. That's always the go-to.
So then we're back with Vision, hardcore investigating the edge. He's getting closer and closer. And this is when he puts on his Avengers skin. Like, he snaps out of it. He's going to start getting serious. And he starts flying, doing his thing. And then he sees on the edge of town, right at the corner of Ellis Avenue where Wanda said don't leave, a car stopped, rolls up to it, and it's Agnes. And she's just frozen in place, stuck in one of these NPC loops. And then this is when we've kind of talked around it a lot, but this is where you kind of realize she didn't have more going on than it appeared, because Vision uses his powers that he used on Norm to wake her up out of Wanda's trance. And she was a... maybe there is something to it, because she was a creep. Like, she was acting like a witch a little bit, like with her laugh and just being like maniacal. Is that a word?
Maniacal.
Maniacal. Or like you're saying manic, like crazy.
Yeah. Like, she was being weird and just cryptic and stuff like that. But she didn't react like Norm.
Yeah. She was literally dressed as a witch for Halloween.
I still think it's going to be Agatha Harkness. I just think that she could be faking, like playing the part. It could just be, honestly, that she's Agatha Harkness and she's still getting stuck under Wanda's spell because Wanda's so strong. But when she's out of the spell, she's still Agatha Harkness. She's still a witch. I don't know. Like you said, Luke, I don't know if she's going to have as big of a part as we thought. But she did have a big part telling Vision he's dead.
Huge part.
That conversation's great, because we already knew this from before, but Vision doesn't remember anything pre-Westview. So when she brings up the Avengers, and he has no idea, that was a pretty crazy moment for the audience.
Yeah. He was like, I am Vision. I am here to help. But what the hell is an Avenger?
Yeah. So I think he doesn't remember Tony Stark at all.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
No idea. Did you guys, when he kind of floated up right before he saw Agnes's car, he was hearing everything. Did you guys hear? It sounded like a kid. And he was saying, like, mom, like a scared voice, like looking for and asking for his mom. Did you guys hear that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. And I don't know if that was just like he was hearing the voices of like the kids or whatever.
Yeah. Can we talk? We haven't even brought up the fact that kids are back for this episode.
The line comes soon, right?
Yeah. With Pietro. But yeah, this was crazy. And also the license plate was a Connecticut license plate. It wasn't a New Jersey license plate.
Yes. Agnes did say early in the season that she actually wasn't born there. She did show up, and she said she showed up after the anomaly started. That's why it's another weird thing with Agatha Harkness.
Really?
Yeah.
They make a weird comment about it here, because Agatha's like, oh, like, where's the town square? I got lost and took a wrong turn. Vision's like, you got lost in the town you grew up in?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. She's conflicting, but she does look like she's crying and like under Wanda's control.
Yeah, but they're fake. It's fake stories when they're in NPC mode.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm with Jimmy. I think she could have been acting, but the only thing is like Vision did use his powers and kind of like zapped her. So I don't know. It's so hard to tell. Yeah, she was like, am I dead? Yeah. Like, no, why would you think that? Because you're dead. And then she yells dead four more times, which was weird.
And then she's doing the crazy laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like, all is lost. No one leaves. Wanda won't even let us think about it.
And that's actually important, too, because that's the first time someone said Wanda is doing it, right? Because Norman's mm-hmm. saying she a mm-hmm. lot.
Yeah, and I was thinking Agatha. Yeah. I was like, all right, Agatha might be the one controlling it. Or Agnes, sorry. But Vision zaps her and says, I will fix this, I promise. She goes, okie dokie, neighbor. And like, it just makes a U-turn. She's back to normal. And this is the intersection of Rolling Hill and Ellis Ave. So we know that Vision is right at the barrier. And he starts walking towards the open field. And you can see little flickers of the barrier in the distance.
This next scene has some good hidden dialogue in it. So back with the Sword Infiltration Squad, we have Monica who just says like this one-off line saying, my way back into the Hex is on its way. Mm-hmm. And I think that's directly related to what we talked about in last podcast episode, the aerospace engineer and potentially the Elizabeth Olsen cameo that she's been talking about. Yeah. You know, so I'm still crossing my fingers for it to end up being like Mr. Fantastic or Dr. Doom, because that's the dream. And if they make an appearance, it makes sense to be in the penultimate or the final coming up.
Yep.
It's going to help break through to Wanda. So I really hope that's where that's going, because that's obviously going to be a main plot point coming up soon. We find out from Darcy some good information here that basically anytime you go into the Hex, the spell is literally reworking your entire DNA at the molecular level. So it's changing you when you're in there. And that's why Darcy is telling Monica that it's dangerous to keep going in and out, because it's completely changing the core of who you are.
And Rambo has done it twice now. Darcy makes a point to say it's rewritten your cells twice. Mm-hmm. So you're super fucked up.
Yeah. So I want to bring this up to you guys. Do you think it's just Monica that's getting changed because she's already has dormant powers? Or do you think every single person, do you think it's going to be like the X gene thing, like we said?
I was thinking the X gene, but I was thinking not everybody in Westview would get it. I was thinking maybe a select few.
Right.
It could be everybody.
If it's a dormant X gene, it activates it.
So
not
we could
everybody.
Have been looking at this whole thing the wrong way when we're talking about Agnes, and this could be Agnes's origin to becoming powerful, right? Like, she doesn't have a power before this, but this rewriting of her DNA can be the same thing that's happened to Monica if she
Wow. Photon, that's a really good point. This might be the origin story.
Yeah,
that's
we never
crazy.
Really brought that up as a possibility.
Yeah, and that's crazy too, because Agatha's supposed to be the experienced witch who trains or mentors Wanda, but it is what it is. Whatever they want to do with the MCU, they can. But yeah, I just wanted to talk to you guys about the Monica thing, because I just don't know if it's doing it to everybody. Then we're pretty much, or at least almost everybody, it's pretty much everybody at the end of that episode, or most of the people, are becoming superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could be, definitely.
God, could you imagine like Norm gets his own movie at one point because he becomes like crazy mutant?
Norm's Mephisto.
We said that, you know, we would be fine with the like one of the parts of the finale just being the activation of the X gene.
Well, and now with this, the hexagonal area expanding so much, now we can start throwing in other characters, because my issue with this being what causes mutants to exist, like it rewrites a certain amount of people within it. There's not enough important actors and characters in it for it to matter enough in the MCU going forward, because what we're going to get, like I said, a Norm and a Herb are going to be two main X-Men. So the expansion of it is actually really important if we're going to take this route, because it needs to touch millions of other people, right? It just needs to get huge.
I mean, before she gets her either ending story arc where she finishes her storyline with Vision and reconciles with his death and finally puts him to rest, or stays crazy, stays bad, and she's the big bad. Either way, before any of that happens, it could be that she expands it to the entire Earth.
Mm-hmm. That's a move.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did talk about that. That could be a possibility. She just covers the entire Earth, which would just be ridiculous.
Yeah, like we don't know what happens if you incapacitate her. So she could actually expand it to the entire Earth. They could figure out a way in, and maybe Monica or somebody incapacitates her. The anomaly goes away, but everyone's still affected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a conversation we kind of skipped over in the beginning between the Monica and Hayward argument, because Hayward was saying, you know, our goal now is just to take out Wanda. We take out Wanda, everything goes back to normal. And Rambo said, no, we don't know that at all. We actually don't know anything. We have no idea if we kill her, if it'll even go away. It could expand. Exactly what you were saying.
Our girl Darcy's going to have some powers, man.
That's coming up. Yeah, I got a question for you guys.
She's big enough to have like a main part if she gets some sort of abilities.
So Rambo's response to Darcy showing her these lab results was, I've seen lab results for a lifetime, cells metastasizing, since cells in remission. I know what Wanda's going through, and I'm not going to stop until I can help her. Do you think she was talking about her mother there, with being sick and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's another theory that she already knows that she has some type of powers, and she's just playing off it because she just doesn't care what the labs say because she knows she's different. There could be some kind of origin story later about her getting powers from her mom or Carol Danvers, but the anomaly could expand her powers, kind of like how it's done for Wanda. And that's when she finally becomes Photon or whatever of the million names she's called.
Yeah.
Well, there was a theory that basically Monica Rambeau's confirmed superpowers, because the posters and kind of like the advertisements they have for WandaVision, like you see like Wanda and Vision standing in front of those old timey TVs, and the TVs are kind of like different images and changing their time, clothes and stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. There is one for Monica Rambeau, and 90% of her is covered up, but what you can see is like the outline of this black and white suit. It almost looks like a uniform. Okay. And compared to the comics, it looks exactly like her Photon uniform.
Okay.
So it might be confirmed that she has powers and will be a superhero at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all are assuming she's going to get powers. We just don't know if she has them already or if this is an X-Gene kind of thing. I mean, she's not supposed to be a mutant, but she's going to have to be if it goes by that theory.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want.
And this scene ends with Rambo and Wu leaving and Darcy saying, I still got one last firewall I got to breach. I know it's big and important, so you guys go on without me. Rambo's like, cool, I'll drop you a pin. Just come ASAP. And those two get in a car and drive off. So then we jump back into the hex, and we still get Wanda and Pietro. They're sitting on the hay bale having that conversation.
Talking about their parents here, right?
Yeah, and
I want Magneto to just and drop so badly.
She was like, oh, like, I know you think I've gone full soccer mom, but like, this town is nice. And Pietro is like, damn, like, if it isn't charming, I think mom and dad would have loved it. Wanda's like, yeah, you know, I think they would have. And then out of nowhere, Pietro hits her with, so where were you hiding all the kids up until now? I assume they were just sleeping peacefully in their beds. No need to traumatize beyond the occasional holiday episode cameo. Am I right? It's just exactly what's going on.
So I think this pretty much kills Dave's theory that their souls were being used to create Billy and Tommy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I got nothing from this. I have no idea what the hell is going on with the kids.
I really just think that it's them winking and nodding at us saying, all right, now they matter. To show up in a scene, so here they are.
I mean, last episode, right at the end, one of the big things was Vision saying, Wanda, why there are no kids in Westview? And maybe that just triggered it, and Wanda was like, here, I'll show you. Here's a bunch of fucking kids.
Yeah.
Pietro goes on a little bit more. He says, don't get me wrong, you've handled the ethical considerations of this scenario as best you could. Families and couples are still together. They have better jobs, and most personalities aren't that far off from like what's underneath, and better haircuts. And Wanda saying, you don't think it's wrong? No, I'm impressed. It's way better than giving people nightmares and shooting red wiggly woos out of your hands.
Incredible delivery. He's just so necessary. He's got to be an audience fan favorite. Like, everyone has to love Evan Peters.
And it seems like he's totally okay with it. Mm-hmm. So it's I don't know, which is weird.
So in the comics with House of M, Quicksilver is part of the reason why she does what she does. And so it kind of is similar. Like he's saying it's okay. And he's not necessarily egging her on in this, but he's just kind of giving her sympathy / reassurance that she's doing the right thing or it's an okay thing to do.
He asks her what we were all thinking. Like, how'd you even do this? Mm-hmm. And she's not saying anything. And then he says, I'm not a stranger. I'm not your husband. Like, you can talk to me.
Part of that dialogue makes me think that there is a slight chance that he is an infiltrator because it sounds like he's asking her like intel questions.
Totally.
But exactly. At the same time, it's realistic questions that he would be asking if he just got brought back to life and is kind of confused. So I don't know. It could be taken both ways, but the fact that you see him dead for a second is really making me think it's just a vision situation where he just got rezzed.
It's just so weird though, because he doesn't remember anything before like being shot. And like he doesn't remember any of their old details or
well, he brings up they talk about the Halloween thing.
Yeah,
but that might not be real because even Wanda says that's not exactly how I remember it. So like he was like making up like a fake memory. But this scene kind of wraps up with Wanda saying, I don't know how I did it. I only remember feeling completely alone, empty, just endless nothingness. And this is, she turns back after thinking about, after dwelling on those thoughts of how empty and alone, she looks back at Pietro and has the bullet holes in him and the like dead face and
the
zombified
house face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's pretty much the uh-oh, where you're like, I don't think that's going to be Fox Evan Peters.
That is the moment, exactly. Yeah. The second you see him dead, it just implies so much. But so yeah, we back at Darcy after this conversation.
And mm-hmm.
She sees Vision on the radar and he's about to leave and exit the force field.
She also found some classified weapons file under Hayward's name. And she was like, I knew you were up to something, and emails it to Wu@FBI.gov. I thought that was sweet.
And also at the same time, it's a parallel scene that's kind of going on. We have Tyler giving the orders to, you know, move out. Like they're going to start making a move on Wanda.
On Vision.
Or Vision. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And everyone's at the barrier. Like all the cars are there again. All the soldiers with their guns. We got the beekeeper outfits there too. It's cool to see them again. And they see Vision initially try to walk through. He's like pushing against this barrier and it's basically pulling him back. And Hayward has a line here saying he really does want to get out, doesn't he? And bits and pieces of Viz are just being ripped off and kind of pulled back into the anomaly. Mm-hmm. And Darcy comes out and she's yelling like, oh no, like, what are you guys doing? Help him. Can't you see he's coming apart? Which she just gets caught and handcuffed. That wasn't too useful.
I want to comment on the quality of the CGI for this because this is just movie level unreal.
Just
much money they put into the like him getting ripped back to Westview. It just looked so clean. And you don't really see those kind of budgets anywhere except for like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, top tier shit. But
he looked in pain too.
I mean, he's screaming, people need help. Mm-hmm. So that's how you know. We haven't talked about this because it's not really a big deal anymore for now, but he was another one who could hold the hammer. He was worthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know Vision is a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
So he's getting ripped apart, dying, and he's screaming, people need help. Not I need help or anything. He's saying people need help.
Yeah. And
Vision's a beast.
He straight up would have died if the barrier, if I feel like he would have disintegrated. But Billy, not Wiccan yet. He becomes Wiccan right here, though. He hears Hayward saying that line. He wants to get out, doesn't he? And he puts out a hand and stops Tommy.
So badass. So he just catches Tommy real quick.
Yeah. And he goes, whoa, Billy, you have powers. But Billy's not too worried about that. He says, you know, Vision's in trouble. So he goes to Wanda and just tells her, you know, I hear Dad in my head and sounds like he's in trouble. Cuts back to Darcy getting handcuffed to the grill of one of the cars. And Vision's, they're showing him yelling, you know, people need me. And he's just now he's down on his knees and he's falling over. Looks like he's straight up dying. And cuts back to Wanda. Where is he? And man, Pietro hits her with the, hey, don't sweat it, sis. It's not like your dead husband can die twice. Wrong thing to say. He gets sent flying. I don't even know how far. They don't even show you.
He goes flying back, dude. And I mean, first of all, He's saying dead husband can die twice in front of her kids. Also breaking her reality that she hates. Don't piss off Wanda, man. We already know that deal.
Seriously.
He's lucky he didn't go flying like Monica through the hex.
This is just such a badass moment when she just... I love any time she just turns it on and she just... Her eyes go red. Her powers, you can visibly see him right away. And she just... I think we don't... I don't think we see directly what happens right this second, but she just... You could see her activating her
abilities. That was so cool. She says, like, Billy, I need you to focus. And he's going, he's saying, I can't tell... he sees soldiers and I think he's dying. And Luke, she does that double cross with her hands and freezes everybody. And she just closes her eyes and focuses. And that's when the barrier starts to move. She literally is pushing the whole thing outwards, just making it way bigger. We first see Wu and Monica as they're driving away. They say, hey, do you see that? Like, go, 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 go. Cuts to Hayward and he's telling everybody to move out. Tarshi's handcuffed, standing there. Are you serious right now?
they don't even attempt to help her.
Mm-mm. It sucks up Vision back and Darcy kind of like right back to back. And as it's
what did she say, dude?
She says, oh, fudge.
Yeah.
And as the barrier is encompassing things, it's rewriting their cells to make sense for that time period, as we know. But when it does Viz, it does keep him in his like Avengers uniform. Yeah. So that's interesting.
And what is the theme here? Like circus clown?
Yeah. So she's just turning, like, it's just like a metaphor at like how funny is that she like thinks of them as clowns.
She's like
Darcy makes the joke that it's a circus. What does she say? Clown car?
Mm-hmm.
A clown car full of people.
In the first episode?
Yeah.
Or episode 3, first episode she's in or something like that.
So it just turns into a circus.
Yeah. It's just Wanda giving a diss.
Yeah, it's interesting because this feels like, is there anything Mephisto connected to like circus? I don't know. Like
this just
feels like a Marvel callback. Unless it's just symbolism for the clown car. But
I didn't catch any Mephisto stuff for it.
I mean, sword, all the tents turn into circus tents. The helicopter turn into a hot air balloon, and all the agents turn into clowns. And Hayward's checking his radio. It's like one of the only cars to make it out, I guess, but nobody's answering. He's saying, like, is anybody out there? Anybody out there? He's getting nothing in return. The hex is huge at this point. It pans out and it just shows the one dimension, one of the six sides of the hexagon, and it is ginormous now.
I like that they made it obvious that it is a hexagon. Like, you could see the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. And the last scene we get is just Wanda opening her eyes and they're scarlet, pure glowing scarlet. And then we get hit with the stupid please stand by screen. Yeah. I hate seeing that now.
These next two episodes are just going to be gas the entire time. Yeah. Just go, go, go. It better be. I want every time you see Elizabeth Olsen, I want to see the red CGI.
Yeah, I saw a funny meme on Instagram that the true villain of this season is Please Stand By.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, it's the
definitely
worst.
A great episode. I kind of think I liked the last one more for what it was, especially with the open-endedness of Pietro showing up compared to... Like, he was great. He definitely did not disappoint. But now I'm a little worried that he's just not going to be around after this series. And like we're saying, it's more of just a nod, it seems, to... the fact that it's not actually the Fox version, but it kind of is.
Right, right. Yeah, I think Evan Peters was really strong. I think that Billy and Tommy were really strong. Mm-hmm. I love that they used the costumes of Wiccan and Speed. The Halloween theme was really, really awesome.
Vision was a 10 out of 10.
Vision was so good. I mean, if you want to talk about explaining Vision's character and his personality in 27 minutes and really what 12 of them or even 8 of them, it's this episode.
He's
just sacrificing himself to try to help everybody. So this was episode 6. There's only 3 episodes left.
And I saw a rumor that so WandaVision director Matt Shockman confirmed during a press interview in January that the series is 6 hours in length and there's three episodes left, and so far the amount of time is 3 hours, so there's still 3 hours left.
Damn,
with 3 episodes, could be 2 half hours and then a movie finale. It could be 3 hour longs. whatever it is.
The idea of ending with like a 2-hour movie, that would be pretty cool.
That would be amazing.
That would justify not introducing Mephisto until episode 8, and then it's just all about fighting him.
That's true.
All right, you want to do the little high or vibe segment we got going on here?
Hey, what do you got?
All right. So we're going to do the high or vibe segment where they are going to give me either green, yellow, or red, meaning green, they vibe with my theory. Yellow, they're kind of on the fence. Or red, they just think I'm high and spitting bullshit. So first one, talked about it before, Pietro is Mephisto. So the facts or the lines that can back me up here. He says in the very beginning when Vision is going off to do the neighborhood watch that if they need a father figure and Vision can't go, he's there. And he's got the good old XY chromosome, so he can be the kid's father figure. He also yells, unleash hell, demon spawns. And when right after that, when he grabbed the kids and he stole the candy, he loves causing chaos. He just didn't care who saw it. He was just enjoying complete mayhem. And he thought it was so lame that Wanda was making them return the candy. So he loves the chaos. He doesn't like being nice. And he told Wanda he was just trying to do his part. And he said that in the sense of like his role that Wanda called him in there. But what if he meant like he was just trying to do his part as a father?
Okay. All right. I'm ready to go first because I actually wanted to bring this up in general. So I'm going to go with blue because
it's not a color.
Because green and yellow together is blue. Okay.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So the deal is here, we have two sides of this coin now. I think at this point, we're going to go with it's not the Fox Evan Peters. Okay. So if we're going to go on two sides here, we're going to say it's either Mephisto as an infiltrator or just a wink and a nod to the fact that they have the Fox license and it should be Aaron Taylor Johnson's Quicksilver. I want to talk about that because with when you're looking at Peter versus Pietro, meaning Fox versus MCU, if we're going with the Aaron Taylor Johnson version and they're just bringing Evan Peters in because they can't get Aaron Taylor Johnson, why can he remember dying when Vision couldn't? Because we're assuming that they're going to be reincarnated almost a similar way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Vision can't remember anything before Westview. Quicksilver does, whether it's bullshit or not, he remembers some stuff, okay? Why does he call himself Peter sometimes? He never called himself Peter as Aaron Taylor Johnson. Why make him, like, you can give him the New York accent because that's just how the Fox one did, and it's another wink and nod. But why make him act like a totally different Pietro? Why, if you want it to be Aaron Taylor Johnson, but you just can't get Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Make him have that personality.
Yeah, make him be Aaron Taylor Johnson's Quicksilver, but just as Evan Peters. Mm-hmm. You know, you're kind of messing with us if you're doing it that way. And I still think the red hand thing in the mirror is something. I think that the way that he's talking to Wanda, being very aware of what's going on, telling her it's okay, kind of like Mephisto would if he's the one helping her orchestrate this. It's hard for me to say, but I really think that I'm going to move towards the Mephisto side because I'm just hoping it's not the Aaron Taylor Johnson thing, even though that makes sense.
Let me jump in because what you just laid out right there, it sounds compelling because, you know, that's the dream, first of all, especially for this podcast. Mephisto is the wet dream for us. Like, I want that so fucking badly. But I'm honestly going to say red, you're high. And there's a lot of reasons, and you kind of laid out a lot of them. Paul, I think you said, you know, the father figure speech, that's important. The Unleash Hell spawn is direct link to the comics. All that's good. The commercial is a specific symbolism of potentially being a Mephisto callback too. And then what we talked about in the third conversation that Wanda and Pietro have about where he starts acting like he's getting intel questions, meaning he could be an infiltrator or he could be Mephisto just finding out about Wanda. All that's good shit, and it all leads to him being Mephisto. But the quick flash of him being dead for a second trumps everything for me. Yeah. I think that alone carries so much more weight than all these little Easter eggs, and it could just be Marvel giving stuff to hardcore fans and we're overanalyzing, and I think that's kind of where we're getting at. What we're going to lead to. And I just think that it's not going to be Mephisto. It'd be too cool.
Yeah, I think that my blue comment is more on the hope side of things. I think like what you're saying, Luke, with the dead body, I really do think that it's going to end up being they just wish they had Aaron Taylor Johnson. And what she's doing is she just has a reincarnated version of Aaron Taylor Johnson's dead body or whatever as her brother. It's just so weird that they're doing the troll job on us, though.
Yeah,
I just really don't know why they wouldn't just make him act like the Quicksilver we know and just say, all right, he looks different. Ha ha. It's Evan Peters.
It would feel a little offensive to hardcore fans. Like, there's one thing to sprinkle in Easter eggs, but to have misleading Easter eggs cause discrepancies in the plot. I don't put that at all. That is just a bad higher up move. So I hope that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. All right. So no vibes. That's cool. That's cool.
Maybe, Blue, bro. That's close.
Maybe a little from Jimmy, but he just gave me a nod. But all right. So we have for the second one, this one, there's no evidence. It's just would be cool if it happens. Do you think Tommy and Billy will be in Doctor Strange 2?
Yes. I say green 100%.
Yeah, I'm green too. I think they're going to outlast the hex. Like, they're not going to be limited to having to be alive in this reality.
Follow up question. Do you think they're going to age up again, or do you think they're going to stay this age? Because it's been two full episodes now. Well, not two, one and a half.
I'm going to go with green originally that they're going to be in it. We already know that Doctor Strange in the comics has a role in their upbringing. We already know Elizabeth Olsen is going to star with Benedict Cumberbatch. I think the two kids are going to stay, but when it becomes the show, they'll probably be older, which kind of, that's kind of weird. If you're going to make them in the movie the same age, then why not just keep them forever as that age?
But, well, I mean, the age they're at right now, like the two actors, like if they
just let them get older.
Yeah. I mean, if they're going to make the Young Avengers in a few years, they're going to age up and that would be the perfect time.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, two more, and they both have to do with Darcy. Darcy is going to come back next episode in the Hex in the waitress uniform that she, exactly the same from Two Broke Girls.
That's hilarious.
Green. That's dope.
That'd be hilarious.
That would be sweet. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. After this show, Darcy will have powers. Kat Dennings has already confirmed that Darcy will have more MCU appearances after WandaVision. It could be like Thor, Love and Thunder. It could go back to the Natalie Portman connection where she originally was from, or maybe, you know, if Monica Rambeau is somehow in the next Captain Marvel, maybe she's going to be shipped off with Rambeau now.
I'm going to say yellow just because I'm not set on this being the way that people are just going to become mutants and activate their powers. Like, that's definitely, I'm probably like 50-50. So by no means am I saying it's not going to happen. It could totally happen. But yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if that's the route they're going to go. And plus, Darcy, her thing is kind of being the hacker genius. Yeah. I don't really know how much adding powers to her will add to her character, because what, she's gonna start fighting? I don't really see that being a possibility.
Yeah, Luke just nailed it right on the head for me. I don't really see any need to give her powers.
Yeah. It'd be cool. It'd be fun. Maybe if it was like a non-confrontational power, that'd be a way to do it.
Yeah, just like a cool little mutant gene where she can like touch computers and like reprogram them or something.
Yeah, that'd
like
be
that.
Cool. Something like that.
But yeah, I agree. I can't see Darcy out there throwing fists. Okay. Bonus higher vibe. So we've been having a lot of talk about John Krasinski possibly being Mr. Fantastic and being Rambo's connection. Do you think with the theme of TV shows and genres throughout the decade that next episode or an upcoming one could be Office themed and it could be John Krasinski playing Jim in the office, and you know, Jimmy Woo could come in there and have an appearance too?
Because he was in the office as well, right?
Mm-hmm. He was fake Jim for a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim.
That would be one of the coolest things ever done on television.
Yeah.
Just introducing one of the most iconic characters of that 2000 sitcom, which just flows so naturally with WandaVision, as Mr. Fantastic. Like, that would be unbelievable, and that would count as Elizabeth Olsen not overhyping the cameo that's going to happen this season. So I'm all in green vibe, and that's genius. I want that to happen so badly.
I'm fine with the green vibe on that. In episode one, we brought up the fact that I heard rumors that they were going to do The Office anyway. I obviously didn't think at all about the John Krasinski thing or the Jimmy Woo thing, but now all that together would just be awesome. So I'm fine with that. Green.
Yeah, this is basically a wish list at this point. This is just stuff we want to happen, not what we think will happen. But anything else you guys wanted to say?
We do want to say that there's going to be a, probably by the time you're listening to this, the episode will already be out, but we're going to have an in-between episode 6 and 7 WandaVision special where we're going to interview one of our friends who is probably one of the most comic genius, like, I don't even know what
subject matter
he
expert
is, the definition of a subject matter expert when it comes to this kind of thing. So he's going to be talking to us about all of our theories, from the simple obvious ones to the tinfoily Mephisto could be Sparky ones, you know, like everything in between. He's going to be telling us if we have any legs to stand on when we're coming up with this crazy Agnes shit, like everything around the world. So look out for that. That should be out within the next week or so too.
Yep, we're going to get that one out. We're going to record it tomorrow. We're going to get it out definitely before episode 7 so you guys can hear our theories before episode 7 comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be sweet to listen to the guru and his thoughts.
You guys called me the comic juggernaut. He takes offense to that, so let's go.
Taught you everything he knew.
He taught me everything I know 100%.
But all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. If you like what you heard, our podcast also covers season 5 of The Magicians, Amazon's The Boys, The Haunting of Hill House, and The Bly Manor series. There's a lot of good stuff that we've covered. Go check it out. If you're on the World Wide Web, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and hit subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.